We're live on Jaguars.com. Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. First day of full pads for the Jaguars this morning. They'll be in full pads all the way up through the first preseason game. And John, it's good to be back here, first of all.
And they stole my iPod again, JP.
Outcast.
Again.
You liked Outcast.
Once again, every day I come out here, they stole my iPod. But they, this is an exciting day, and you've got full pads on. It's we'll talk about it more. Full pads, it's not what it used to be. It's not what it was in 1975 where you were just trying to get guys off the roster, where you're trying to out-tough everybody. But there's an intensity level today. It's a little bit more than the shoulder pads practices that we saw on Sunday and Monday. So I think the fans that are here today are going to get a little bit more of an idea about the running game, the defense, a little bit more of a tick up in intensity.
And today, we won't see this on Jaguars.com Live. We'll go up until teamwork begins, but there will be a running theme today. More run with the full teamwork today, and then some short yardage situations. So, yes, the pads will pop a bit a little later.
Yeah, and again, there is such an emphasis now on player safety, and that comes from the league, but it also comes from teams having to be smart. You know, you can't, with a salary cap era, you've got X number of core guys, and you just can't risk one of that X number of core guys being gone because you got twisted up during a live contract in August. That raises all kinds of questions.
Yep.
You know, is the tackling as good as it used to be? Does that hurt? Well, that's the age we live in. Right now, you're going to see, even in pads, a very controlled, trying to keep guys off the ground, trying to keep guys from hitting each other's knees. You've got to be smart because you've got to get through a 16-game season, and it's 5 weeks before that 16-game season starts.
A lot of practices between now
yeah.
and then, a lot of games, four preseason games, and a scrimmage as well. Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Biggest news, I guess, of the day before practice, John Latulale is back. He's on the roster again and is active. He had a hamstring injury with him? I believe it was.
He had a hamstring and started on the non-football injury list, yeah. as you said. And good job pronouncing the name. I always want to put four or five L's in there. So, and it's good for him. He's a guy, he contributed last year, especially at the end of the season, and they like his athleticism, but he's also at a level of the roster where you don't want to miss too much training camp.
Biggest news of the day for that. Alan Ball, probably another notable that's still out today. I had a chance to catch up with him the other night, and he was confident of being back this week. And he said the hardest part, John, of this whole rehab process in the offseason was it's an ankle. You can't
right.
really do anything. You
right.
can't run. You can't do a lot. You just have to sit there and let it heal.
And he's in a situation where he believes he can be back out there right now. Players get into that situation late as they're coming back, where everything inside their body, everything inside their body clock, they're ready to go. They know it's late July and it's time. And the trainers, the coaches are telling him to be smart because you don't want to re-aggravate an ankle. They know what he can do. Yes, he can benefit from competing out here, but he's also deep enough into his career where 2 or 3 days missed out here is not going to set him back significantly. So be smart with Alan Ball.
Let's kind of review Monday night's practice down at Bartram Trail a bit. Defense had a really solid night
mm-hmm.
that night, according to Gus Bradley at the end of practice. Pretty evident to see. Both sides made some plays,
right.
but the defense really stepped it up on Monday night mm-hmm. down at Bartram Trail.
And you expect that. A, you expect it in any training camp situation where you have a team where the offense isn't clearly better than the defense. When I was in Indy, they would come out, and the offense would move the ball very well during early part of training camp. But they had Peyton Manning, and they'd been together a long time. This is not that situation. So, especially with this situation, Jaguars have a brand-new offensive line. None of these guys have ever played next to each other before. You've also got young receivers. And you've got a defensive line that is the emphasis of the defense, meaning there's a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who are big, strong, veteran. You would expect to, if you had seen anything else at Bartram Trail on Monday, I think you would have been surprised. That's probably about where the Jaguars expected to be at, although the offensive line, through these next couple of days where they start getting the pads on, as hitting starts, that's where these guys really want to make hay, if you will. They want to start getting better quickly.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 Jaguars training camp. Full pads day for the first time. Jaguars team stretch happening behind us. Then they'll get into special teams work and then some full team drills early in practice today. Quarterbacks. We've mentioned this before. Everybody has. Chad Henne is the starter. Mm-hmm. It's been very clear. He's been very steady in this camp so far, without pads, of course.
Right.
A little different. But Blake Bortles has shown some flashes of good things, some other things he needs to work on to it. And we're starting to really kind of see now why that decision was made. Right?
Well, and I think you've seen what you sort of expected to see, in that Chad's going to be here. And he's not – he's probably not going to vary. I see your eyes going up and down with the hand. He's probably not going to vary very much from there. Whereas Blake might be here at first, then he's going to be here. Probably right now have more days down here because he's a rookie and they expected that. But I'm optimistic, and I think the coaches are too about – and it's more important for the coaches to be optimistic, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Blake looks like he's improving fairly steadily. And what you hear from the coaches is that they really like how he is inside that building. He's doing the right things. He cares about it. He gets it. He's walking that quarterback walk. Well, you're not seeing it every play. You're not seeing it every series, but you're seeing it get better from the off season, which at this point, we talk about it so much that, again, we want to see something every day that says, yes, this is it. This is happening. You're not going to see that, but the graph so far seems to be fairly steadily pointing up for Blake Bortles.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Team stretch happening behind us. Single game tickets are on sale. Visit Jaguars.com for 3D seat views and more. Also available through Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Jaguars ticket office 633-2000. Great home schedule, of course. Steelers, Giants, Dolphins, Browns are here. All the divisional teams. That Dallas game, though, is at Wembley Stadium in London. Get those tickets now, and we're, what, a week from Friday from the first preseason game, John. It's here.
We are, and, you know, I'm a little distracted. I just got a message from Alfie Crow about my shirt.
Okay.
Here we go, right? You've seen Alfie, right? You see how he rolls out here? Well, let's go, Alf.
No. Wow.
I mean, let's go. No, and I'm sure Alfie will – that was a segue to say I'm sure Alfie will be at the scrimmage on Saturday, right?
I'm
excited about the scrimmage for a couple reasons. First of all, the fans who weren't there on Saturday are going to get a chance to see these boards, which is going to be really cool, and I think you're going to start to see how the Jaguars sort of use the boards on game day, which is going to be a lot of fun. But the scrimmage also will be a chance to see Blake Bortles and Chad Henne sort of a little more in action, a little more in game day. And there is an intensity level that I think will start this week, and I will peak on Saturday and kind of close out this first phase of training camp.
While we're talking about that scrimmage, you have to register. Jaguars.com/events. It's presented by Florida Blue this Saturday. Gates open at 5, practice at 6:45. Fireworks and autographs after. Jaguars.com/scrimmage is the site to go to register for tickets for that. It's always a fun night, that scrimmage night.
It is.
Teamwork about to begin the first session here. We'll stay with you here on Jaguars.com Live. Just can't show much of the actual team drills here. And then they'll move into individual work.
It's a fun night, too, JP, the scrimmage. I think this year, because you've got two guys in the passing game who everybody's really wanting to see. You've got Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, who everybody really wants to see out there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to overestimate how good those two guys have looked. We've talked a lot about Allen Robinson, and I got a question in the Ozone the other day. Hey, does that mean Marquise Lee's behind? Well, it doesn't. It just means Allen Robinson's looked very good.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see some things out of Marquise Lee, that ability to catch the ball short and to move his body and get some positioning and get some run after the catch. In both of those guys, you're starting to see the attributes that are the reason they drafted these guys. And you're starting to see that those attributes, some guys have attributes when they come out of college that don't translate very well to this level, where all of a sudden they get against number one cornerbacks and they realize, I've got to do a lot of things different. Well, these guys need to improve, but the attributes, Robinson's size, his ability to position his body during the throw, Marquise Lee's route running, his ability to get in position after the catch, it looks like those things are things they'll be able to take into the regular season and use. I'm not talking 1,000-yard guys yet, but I'm talking about guys who, when Chad Henne's back there, he can know those guys will be available with a little confidence. That's what this offense needs right now.
What did Chad say the other day? I think you wrote it in one of your articles, that the college coaching, the scheme they were in, yep, in college helps. Lane Kiffin at USC, Bill O'Brien at Penn State helped, right, Robinson and Lee really kind of move in quickly. The terminology and the routes and such, just a little more of a professional feel coming up.
There's certainly some pro elements to these guys. Yeah. And like I said, I've been impressed with Marquise Lee on Monday night with his ability when he's running a slant over the middle to be in control and to have some awareness during the play of what's going on. I don't want to say he assumes he's catching the ball, but it's not just, okay, I've caught the ball, that's enough. He's catching the ball, and there's something he knows he's got to do with it. His skill set is such that he needs to be making something happen after that. He doesn't seem to need to learn how to do that at this level. Some guys do. So that's a good sign. If they've already got things that they know they've got, then they can start going and worrying about the other things. So it's going to be interesting to watch those guys, because receiver has been such an issue here for a long, long time.
Yeah, it is.
I think people look at receivers and they expect something to go wrong. I mean, I get that vibe from fans, and I'm sure you do too. We're 5 days in, so I'm not saying anything's going to go wrong with these guys, but they look the part of guys who have a chance to be around here and be productive for a long time and to develop into the sort of solid receivers that fans are used to seeing on other teams.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. This is officially a special teams period. The special teams work going on the far end of field one. Then the defensive line, offensive line working on their own while special teams are happening. And then it's into a team period before breaking off into individual position drills. So that's what's coming up here at practice on Wednesday. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Brian Sexton coming up a little bit later today. Beautiful day for football. It's another warm one today. Bright sunshine, a few clouds off in the distance. And a good crowd has come out on Wednesday. It's been really solid crowds throughout training camp. Of course, the biggest was down in Barton, sure, Trail with over 3,300. But another sound crowd on Wednesday.
We were talking, I'm looking over the bleachers, pretty full. And remember, this is Wednesday.
Yep.
You know, and it's tough to get out here on a Wednesday because some people do work for a living, JP. You and I don't.
Nope.
But some people do. So I think today, too, JP, fans have been asking about Toby Gerhardt forever, ever since he signed. And we've always given answers like, well, we'll see when the pads go on. This is a guy who's going to look better when the pads go on. So far, he has done nothing in camp with his approach, off season, seeing him on the field. None of that has made you think anything except, this guy's got a chance to be pretty good. Well, now you really get to see him where he's going to be in his element. And that's true of all runners. I think everybody would tell you that's really true of him. He's a guy who's going to use his pads. He's going to use his body when he's running. And the test of him is going to be when he gets 7 or 8 yards downfield, can he avoid that contact? Can he avoid that defender? Everything you've seen from him in the clips you watch is that he can do that. I think fans out here will get a chance to see that. And also see this young offensive line working some full against a very experienced defensive line. This is where this offensive line needs to start getting better.
You know, and Toby said in the locker room the other day, I might have been Vito that asked him about it, but during a practice like this with at least shoulder pads only on, he's apt not to blow up one of his teammates on,
right,
the defensive side. So he's apt to just kind of go away from the contact, where in a game he might be in a situation where he has to go into,
right,
contact, and he's not afraid to do that either. But
no.
And we'll see with full pads on today if that's a scenario for him too, even with the full pads.
And what's
on.
Intriguing is he seems to have that ability to do both. And what I mean is,
yeah,
when he's 7 or 8 yards downfield, he has the ability to run over you, but he also has the ability, the feet, I think, to avoid. So the defender really, I don't think, knows what he's going to do. I think that gives him a pretty good advantage. And, again, I don't know. There's still going to be a difference between what you see from him today and what you see from him in a game. In this day and age, you're just not going to see the running game in the same way, even in a full contact practice, as you would in the game. But we're going to get a better idea of what we're looking at. And as we've talked about a lot, that's a much bigger storyline than it was this time last year. How this team is going to run. You get the idea talking to Jed Fish, He wants to run a lot, and it's not going to be pass first, run second offense this year. They know they need to run. They know they need to get something established in the running game that they can count on. And they did not do that at any point last year. So that's a big priority this year. You at least want to be able to
right.
Well, you at least want to be able to have teams believe that you're capable of running. So that's going to be a big priority early.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Let's talk a little bit of defense now, John. You know, we're looking at this defensive line group over here, and it's been widely heralded throughout this free agent process and such, so a lot of new faces there from a year ago. And, you know, it seems just talking to those guys that nobody's really new anymore.
Right.
It seemed like a pretty cohesive group already.
Well, and that comes along quicker. We had Gus Bradley on the Jaguars Today show last week, and I asked him about does a defensive line, does a front seven have to have time the way an offensive front does? And the answer is really not really. You know, these guys have one job, and it's to go get the ball, it's to cause disruptions, to cause havoc. It's not as much of a continuity issue.
Yeah.
So with veterans like this, you've got Roy Miller, you've got Red Bryant, you've got Ziggy Hood. You would expect there to be a quick benefit, a quick payoff in free agency from veterans like that, because that's why you got those guys.
Yeah.
I got a feeling at the practice the other night at Bartram Trail, two hits stood out. The Jonathan Ciprin hit on the long pass to Allen Robinson.
Absolutely.
And the Leroy Reynolds hit, I believe it was Jordan Todman coming around. These guys are ready to hit. It was only in shorts, but they're ready to hit. They're ready to get some hits where they're jumping around 10 yards in the backfield and jumping all over each other. It was interesting. Gus Bradley the other night, really, it was a defensive play at the end of scrimmage, and I think it was a return for a touchdown. And you could see the whistle in his mouth, and he was dying to end practice. He was smiling. He wanted to end it because he loves ending practice on that defensive note, you know.
That's right.
And Mark Long from the AP actually asked him, why didn't you end it there? And Gus said, well, I didn't want the offensive guys to think I was all defense all the time, you know. So it's getting fun, and I think you're going to see maybe more of that sort of interaction, more of that kind of fun. As the pads go on, you're going to see more of that competition that Gus loves so much.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. John, we'll catch up with you in just a little bit.
You're later. Running me.
I'm going to run you.
I'm out. All
get
right.
Get out of here. Brian Sexton is going to join us now. Of course, Jaguars Thursday coming up on the new home of the Jaguars, 1010 XL. Gus Bradley show 6 to 7 p.m. with Gus and Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday 7 to 8 with myself, Tony Buscelli, and Jeff Lagerman. That's Thursdays on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. JP Shadrick with senior correspondent Brian Sexton live from 2014 Jaguars training camp, Jaguars.com live. Glad you're with us today. Glad you're with us.
Well,
as
I'm
always.
Glad to see you too.
Beautiful Wednesday morning here in Jacksonville.
Pads it was a little on. More beautiful in the shade.
I bet it was.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. You're right. The pads are on. And pads are on. It's good to see the big guys with the pants on because it means, JP, that we're going to get a chance to see some goal lines, some short yard situations, and we can really evaluate Mike Brewster as the starting center. It's such a critical position, and we've really become spoiled to know that Brad Meester was the guy who could get everyone in place and have it ready to go. All right, well, with Brewster, we know he can get everyone in place because he's really smart, but is he strong enough? Can he push guys off the spot? And even though Dave Caldwell said to me earlier in OTAs, Mike's got great athleticism. He's a guy that can get out and reach, and that's the way they play these outside zone schemes these days. You still have to be able to put your hand in the dirt and drive someone off the ball. So I'm real eager to see that. Plus, the rookie, Brandon Linder. You know, everyone wants to know how he's doing. He's a third-round pick, after all. But we'll find out more of that today.
Yeah, Linder and McClendon in that battle at right guard. Brewster, maybe Bowenko, if he can play a little better, might be in a battle at center if things don't go so well.
He's a terrific athlete.
Yeah, sure
and that
is.
Doesn't just come from Jeff Lagerman, who, by the way, because the kid went to Virginia, thinks very highly of him. He really is. He's got very good feet. He's very aware and heads up. He played some guard at Virginia. I think he's going to have something to say probably in the future, you know, next year, beyond, about guard and about center. But right now, Brewster's the guy. Watch for Jock McClendon. He's getting some time at center, and that's a position that the Jags worked him at last year. I think they're trying to up the ante a little bit and really push Brewster.
We'll find out if Brewster can handle the heat or not.
Jaguars. Well, he's a smart guy, and I don't want to take that away. The center is the quarterback of the offensive line, JP, as you know. And Brewster's got that side of it down. Let's see what he's got in terms of push.
Brian Sexton is with us, Jaguars.com Live. Brian, you know, we touched with John on this just a little bit earlier. Pads are on. Yeah, it's a special day, but it has a different feel from 15 to 20 years ago, right?
Yeah,
when the pads come on, that was a real big deal.
Well, it used to be because, you know, the buzz that got out about it was, oh, the pads are on today. And that was Camp Coughlin, and, I mean, he beat these guys up. I mean, they were really live drills back then.
Ask Tony Boselli, he'll tell you.
Oh, he'll tell you all about it. Nowadays, because of the salary cap and the way that this thing works, they really want to protect their guys, and I totally get it. So the buzz about full pads is no longer what it used to be. People know what to expect when they come out here. You'll hear the phrase a lot, stay on your feet, stay on your feet, stay on your feet, right? That's a really big deal. Here's what the pants do, two things. One is it gives the guys a chance to get used to playing in them, obviously, because they're different than playing in shorts, and you need that. And two is that you want to see the ability. Gus may be able to go goal line live. He might be able to do a little bit more of that. Yep. But they still want to avoid the leg shots. They want to keep these guys as fresh as possible for the start of the regular season. And so it doesn't, you know, I mean, it's a nice crowd out here this morning, but, well, I can remember back in the day where there would be a buzz through the city. I'd stop at Publix on my way in, and guys would be talking about, oh, it's full pads today. That's not there like it used to be. It's just a function of the modern game.
JP Shadrick with Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com Live. The offense working through some install right now, and then a little bit of individual drills will begin. We'll step off to the side.
And again, those are great places to evaluate guys one-on-one. You know, especially in this padded situation with the big guys, is a chance to really see their push and their drive. And guys don't worry quite as much about, you know, getting hit in the leg when they know they're wearing those thigh pads.
Individual drills will start in just about a couple of minutes from right now, and we'll go back to showing a lot of that. Defensive line off to the side, working on their own right now. You know, the scrimmage coming up this Saturday, it's always a fun night because it's the first chance for the fans to really see a full, as close to a full game as they can. It's in the stadium. And for fans, a chance to see the boards and all that if they didn't make it out last
week.
That's
going to be all season long. People are going to be excited to see all the new things that those guys unveil every week.
But this week of practice really leads up and ramps up to what should be a game-like feel on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're very situational. I mean, I think we all used to come out and expect that they'd line up and it'd be first and 10. And they're very situational in that. But they try to do a schedule for the players where they'll be in the locker room at the time, you know, 3 hours before kickoff, their time on the field by position group, and when they do the drills are all there. And so this whole thing, this whole week is about getting the guys ready for next week where you get ready for a game. Even though it's a preseason game and they don't do a lot of game planning, Gus Bradley wants to get his team up and running and have them in a system, in a scheme, in a, what's the right word? I
can't help you here.
Words. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. In a structured routine is what I guess I wanted to say. So that even though they're in camp, they're working towards the regular season. Everything's a learning opportunity.
Oh.
Every moment of every situation on the field, in the classrooms, is a way for him to get his team ready.
John Latulule is back today. Dakota Watson is still down. No real timetable. Maybe before the end of camp for him. Leroy Reynolds had a solid practice apart from Trail the other night.
Yeah.
That big hit kind of stood out on Todman.
Nice player.
But what do you think of the linebackers?
Well, that's a group that I have some concern for, JP, because you've got Paul Posluszny, who is coming off a Pro Bowl season and obviously is really the heart of that defense. But around him now, you've got Geno Hayes, who's made some nice plays, but he's still, you know, coming back from the knee surgery. Yeah. So there's a little bit of worry about, you know, how much can you work him in right now? Although he's a vet, so you don't go crazy about that. And then Dakota Watson's the bummer of the whole thing right now. Because the Jaguars identified him as a guy who they would build that auto position around. He's sudden. He's explosive. He can step over and rush the passer as a Leo, too. There's a lot of excitement about it, and they haven't been able to see him because the groin has been an issue since they got on the field back in the offseason. So there's your three starters, and really you've only got one that you can count on, and just like the offensive line now, these are guys that need to work together. I really like Leroy Reynolds, really like the progress he's made, but, you know, he was a guy who late last year missed four games with the suspension. And so we've never seen him in a every downs kind of role. So that's a question mark as well. There's just a lot of question marks about that group. And I think they believe they had at least put themselves in a position to answer some of them, and they can't right now.
We move back to the group behind the linebackers, of course, in the secondary. Alan Ball not back today. He said he's hoping he'll be back this week at some point in practice coming off the ankle injury. Beyond him, though, it's a lot of second-year players that are trying to step up now.
You bet, and that's a group that I really like.
Yeah,
you know, for Alan Ball, I know he wants to get back out here so that he doesn't miss too much time, but I'm enjoying the chance to watch more of Jeremy Harris and Demetrius McCray, and I've been on those guys since the spring because they have that look, that prototypical, the long arms, the big hands, and they turn and they run so well. So right now, especially early in camp, because I assume that Ball's going to be the starter on opening day, let me see more of 31 and 35 out there running and competing with these starters, because you know how an NFL season goes. In all likelihood, they're both going to have a chance to play some this year. And so this is invaluable time for them. But, you know, JP, last year the Jaguars went heavy with young guys at that position, throwing Cyprian out there early, bringing Josh Evans into the lineup. And when Evans was gone, here comes Winston Guy, who's only into his third summer in the National Football League. And Dwayne Grotz, all these young guys got a chance to play. And, you know, at times it was painful, but now you're seeing the benefit of the Jaguars and the strategy that Caldwell and Bradley brought to it, because they're guys that you're starting to go, whoa, look at that.
That's right.
It's a group you can count on.
And it's a group that's why they went heavy in that first draft they had here on defensive backs. Five defensive backs in that draft, because it takes a while to develop a defensive back in the National Football League. It was the first thing they had to get done.
And you can't effectively mount a pass rush without a secondary. And the pass rushers just haven't been there in the draft, falling where the Jaguars were, but the corners and the safeties were. So you got to build where there's rock, where there's stone, you know, where there's something to work with. The pass rushers will come. They bring in Chris Clemens. Andre Branch makes a late run last season. And obviously, you know, there are more drafts needed to get this team into that contender role that Dave and Gus are building towards. So it was a smart play on their part last year.
Jaguars.com live from the Florida Blue Practice Fields. 2014 training camp rolls along. Glad you're with us today with live coverage. We'll take you up until the team periods begin. There is this is the actual individual position drills right now for another 10, 11 minutes or so, and then a water break, of course, and then into the team periods.
Can I tell you the guy that I've enjoyed watching,
yes, sir,
besides Demetrius McCray, is Cindric Marks. And I think we all know what he's capable of, having watched him. But here's what's interesting is he lines up and he does drills. He does pace party. He does pass protection. He does all of those things where he's going one-on-one with the guy. And, I mean, it's just absolute all out. And then the other day I saw him grab Brandon Linder, who he had just schooled, take him off to the side and was working with him on how his hand position would be more effective against the three-technique defensive tackle, right? Now, he could have just as easily gone over and worked with a young defensive lineman, but instead he was working against Linder and then working with Linder. He's an interesting guy. You know him well, off the field anyway, but he's a great bet. And again, last year the Jaguars went heavy at defensive backs. It paid off. They took a chance on Cindric Marks. It paid off in a much greater way than just a really good football player. He's a heck of a leader in that locker room and the kind of guy Gus wants to build around.
Signed a one-year prove-it deal, proved it, and got his reward. Now it seems the Jags are getting theirs, you know,
love
at least early
him.
In training camp.
Love watching him on the practice field, the energy that he works with. It's infectious.
I think that's throughout the whole organization with him. I mean, either in the locker room, walking around the building, in the community, yeah. He's always got it up in the red, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, this is the right place for him. I know he loves to play golf and got a lot of it in the off season. This is just guys sometimes search for that right fit, and played at Auburn. It seemed like it might work for him in Nashville, but the scheme and the timing is much better for him in Jacksonville. And, you know, now that they've gone out, they've got Roy Miller healthy. They bring in Ziggy Hood. You know, they've got a bunch of different guys that they can rotate through. At times he was playing, you know, 50 snaps. It's way too much.
Played over 900 last year.
Yeah, way too much for a guy like that. I'm really eager to see how he will do playing in a much more limited role. Limited in terms of they're going to find ways to keep him fresh so that he can be as effective as possible.
Jaguars.com live. We stay on the defensive line. Another guy, another part of this defense that needs improvement from a year ago is that run defense.
Yeah.
They were run all over last year. And teams had leads and would just run.
Seven
That's
games
the way
where the opponent ran for more than 150 yards. It is really tough to pull back from a deficit if you can't stop the run.
Well, a big part of that is Red Bryant in the middle, the big boy up front. He says, you know, he told me the other day that his conditioning is fine. He stayed here, got used to the climate. When he first came here, the first mini camp out here was like just blown away. He had to leave early. It was a bad situation. He's used to that now, I think. His conditioning's in pretty good shape. They're keeping it in check. And he'll be a force to move in the middle. You can't move him.
Well, I'm going to tell you now, I was here when John Henderson was here, obviously. And John Henderson's a really big guy. Red Bryant doesn't have the height that John does, but he's bigger. I mean, his shoulders are broader, his hips are broader. And I have watched guys try to move him. I watched him throw Austin Pazder to the, and Austin's huge.
Yeah.
I watched Sam Young just struggle to move him off the spot at all. Red is, I caught up with him on the practice field on Monday night at Bartram Trail afterwards. And you could tell. I mean, this is a guy who, when he sets his feet and gets anchored in, he's used to no one being able to move him. People are going to have to run the other way. He is terrific. Now, I don't know that it is possible for him to lose 10 to 15 pounds, but, and I stood in the locker room when he was on the scale the other day, and I won't tell you what he weighed. But I think that if you could get him down 10, 15 pounds, you'd have a guy who could go more reps, who could be more effective in his conditioning level. But I'm telling you, as is, he's a guy that they, you want to talk about an upgrade now? It was a major upgrade to get a guy like Bryant, because what you're going to be able to do is have him on the field, and then you bring in another stout guy, but Tyson Alualu has some more quickness and some more explosiveness to get up. So you're going to be able to, you know, it's like body blow, and then you hit him with the uppercut and the hook when you're facing an offensive tackle. And just like an offensive line is trying to wear down a defensive line, defensive lines are trying to do the exact same thing and have some change-ups where they can get into an offensive lineman's head. And I really like what Red Bryant and Tyson Alualu bring as a tandem.
Have you ever called boxing, Brian?
Only when my sons play it on the Wii, because they get into it so much. And boxing's kind of gone now. But
yeah, it is. We understand what you meant by that.
Well,
it makes sense, of course.
I take a boxing class at Atlantic East Performance, so I call it myself.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Last couple of minutes of Jaguars.com live today. Glad you're with us. JP Shadrick with Brian Sexton. John Osier joined us shortly. Osier will have his writing a little bit later after practice today. Gus Bradley will speak to the media as usual. Locker room will be open. What do you want to hear in the locker room today, Brian?
Well, you know, something I'm looking for is how guys felt in these one-on-one situations, you know? Because we've heard, I've gotten stronger, I've gotten more athletic. Okay, did it pay off? All that time with Tom Myslinski in the weight room and the off-season program, which is science, man. I mean, each guy's program is individually tailored for what they need and where their muscle groups are. I want to hear how that kind of stuff played out. I want to hear about, in particular, you know, the pass protection, pass rush stuff, which is what I think we're getting ready to see right here in front of us. I want to hear how guys felt taking the blow or delivering the blow.
We'll find out.
Yeah,
a little bit later today, and we'll have Inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Bush Mini as well. John Osier's writing will cover the day also. Some tackle tight end work about to begin with the defensive line in there, too.
And you see who's out there right in the middle of it all, Big Red.
There he is. You can't miss him.
Nope. No, and I got to think, if I was an offensive lineman, I would think, man, could that give that guy a veteran day off?
I don't think he's had one yet.
Could we get him a couple of veteran days off?
You know, it's funny you mentioned, we were talking about Roy Miller a while ago, too, and I asked him the other day, you must feel like a brand new man with two shoulders. He said, You know, I kind of have to learn technique again because he learned so many bad habits playing with one shoulder last year that it's taken him a little bit to get back into real shape using two arms.
You know,
and
he's
doing
a guy.
Technique.
He's a guy that bears watching because, and let me say this a different way. He's a guy that height and weight don't matter. I mean, you see a guy who's 6'2" and 300 pounds, you think, okay, you know, he's not all that tall. But Roy Miller anchors in there, and boy, you can't move him. He might as well be 6'10" for trying to move a guy like that. His legs are just, they never stop moving, and he's got such wide hips and wide shoulders that what he presents is a block. It's like a block of granite, and you just don't move him. And again, now you got Ziggy Hood, who Ziggy has the biggest shoulders. I don't, they're wide, but I mean just thick. He's just all chest. And it's a 1-2 punch now because he can anchor in there or he can play that 3 technique with Sindarin. They have such versatility up front now, which is good because you have a lot of guys you want to get on the field and you're only going to have 7 of them active on game day. So you want to be able to change things up and you want Ziggy to be able to get in there and spell Roy a little bit. And then you also want him to be able to spell Sindarin. A nice rotation is what they've created with these guys.
You're taking a close look at tackle, tight end, guard work against the defensive line. Live work in front of us. A lot of the offensive linemen are blocking some of the clear view for you. But the final work of individual position drills, and then it's on to a water break, and then the team running drills will begin. We cannot show you
team
today.
When they do the water break, do they bring it over here for you to make sure you're properly hydrated?
Yeah, I'm just worried about you. You're going to make sure you're hydrated.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
You're a tremendous machine,
well,
Ryan.
Well, no, I spend most of my practice over here with the computer blogging, so yeah, you're the guy who's running around in the sun.
You got to watch out for the blog, too, right?
I'm enjoying that. You know,
live chat.
I'll stand out here and I'll talk, and, you know, and for 20 years I have, but it's always been someone, you know, media-related or football-related who kind of, you know, it's like selling ice to an Eskimo, right? In this situation, able to share some thoughts about what I'm seeing out here on the field with folks who are, you know, in the Modus building. I guess that's the Wells Fargo building now, but the Bank of America Tower, who might not be able to get out here. It's the beauty of it all.
Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Final minute or so here. We'll let you watch the final individual position work. The running backs are off to our right, your left, with the pads. And the offensive and defensive line doing work here. Water break coming up and then teamwork. Stay tuned, as we said, to the live chat here on Jaguars.com. John Osier's writing will be up a little bit later today after practice. We'll have Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mini as well. For Brian Sexton, for John Osier, J.P. Shadrick, thanks for watching Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp.